Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. The title of the message is Saved and Placed in the Ministry. Let's read verses 11 down through verse 19. We won't preach on all these today, but we'll get through some of them. Verse 11, Galatians 1, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God, and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by His grace, to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother." May the Lord help us today to understand and to proclaim His Word. Amen. Paul is truly a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we learned last week, his life is no longer his own. He has been bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And since he is saved, as we learned this morning in Sunday school, he has a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone. God has placed His Spirit within him, as He does with every believer. So Paul now has a desire to know God and to please God. That's his desire. His desire, according to verse 10, is to please his God, to please his Master. Now, this does not mean that he doesn't care about others, but that his first and foremost desire is to please God. We can get to the place where we say, "I don't care what anybody else says or thinks." And that's a bad place to be. Bad place. If someone doesn't care about others, they will become militant in their religion. Instead of lovingly proclaiming the gospel, they'll use it to attack others. They'll want to study the Bible so they can debate, not to deliver someone from their sins, or to point them to Jesus Christ, I should say. This is another reason why we should never forget what kind of people we were when the Lord saved us. Where were we at? What were we doing? What were we thinking? How was our mind? Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners," what did Christ do? He died for us. When we look at this lost and dying world that we are around every day, we should have compassion on them. When we see someone at a stop sign, or at an intersection, or under an overpass somewhere, we see someone who has clothes on that's been ripped and ragged, and you can tell they're strung out on drugs. We shouldn't say, "Look at that old dope head over there," or "that old drunkard over there," or "that old whore or whoremonger over there." We should see them and have compassion on them. No, we don't encourage their sins. We don't approve of their sins. We don't encourage our own sins, approve of our own sins. But we have compassion. What is it that they need? They need deliverance from that lifestyle. There's only one that can do that, and that's Jesus Christ. how sad is it for someone to say, I'm not like that sinner over there. Y'all remember who did that in the Bible? That Pharisee? God, how'd you ever make it without me? And yet the old boy, the publican's over there saying, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. So we should have compassion on this lost and dying world. Our hearts should yearn for the Lord to save them. And I tell my kids all the time, I say, look, you see that person over there? Do you see how they're strung out on drugs? That's someone's son. That's someone's daughter. Do you see that girl over there? She's selling her body. That's someone's daughter. That could be someone's mother. That's someone's sister. Have compassion. Desire to help. Desire to share the gospel. Because Jesus Christ is the only one who can deliver them from that lifestyle. Does Paul show us this? Yeah. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Paul writes, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Here's what's interesting. Yeah. Israel was God's people is Paul's relations. He's an Israelite. He's a Jew. But here's what's more. Who was it that was persecuting Paul more than anybody else? It was the Jews. And yet Paul, instead of getting mad and saying, Lord, you send fire down from heaven to burn them up. Lord, won't you open up the earth that earth may swallow them? He says, no. My heart's desire to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Keep reading, you find out Paul even says, I could wish myself accursed so that they would be saved. He had compassion on others. Turn to Matthew chapter 9, please. Matthew chapter 9. Verses 35-38. Matthew 9:35. The Bible says, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray is to beg as binding oneself, Lord, send me. But what do we see here, verse 36, that Jesus Christ had compassion on them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. Where were they headed? They were headed to a devil's hell. They were lost. And that's how they were living. Most of them were there for the entertainment. Most of them were there to see Jesus create or to do another miracle. They were not there for salvation or because of salvation. In Matthew 23:37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jesus cries out, Thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. In these verses we see the compassion of Paul and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They were compassionate towards others. Yet they would not compromise the Scriptures for any reason, nor for anyone. See, there's a line there. Yes, we are to be compassionate towards others. But that does not give us the right to compromise the Scriptures. Never. Christ gave His life to save the lost, we could say, right? And Paul gave his life that the lost may hear the message of the gospel. Paul was a humble Christian. Let's go back to the book of Galatians. It was not Paul's desire to draw attention to himself. And one of the reasons he's having to write these epistles to these churches of Galatia and other churches is because when he went to them, he was not preaching or promoting himself. He was compassionate, and he was also passionate about what he was doing, what he was teaching and preaching. And his life was not his own. His life was not about himself. He did not show up and say, "Hey, y'all, I'm Paul the Apostle. Hey, let me tell you about me. Let me tell you about what I've done and where I've been. And let me tell you about all the people that's been saved under my ministry." No, Paul didn't do that. Paul showed up preaching and teaching the gospel. Amen. Didn't promote himself. Paul wasn't trying to build his own little kingdom here on earth. He didn't show up again proclaiming his office of an apostle. He wasn't drawing attention to himself. In Galatians 6:14, this is what Paul writes. "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." Glory to nothing but Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, he writes, "And I, brethren, when I came to you," notice this, let's turn here, let's turn here so y'all can see this. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians 2, look at verse 1. It says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Why? Why didn't Paul show up and make people look to him? Why didn't Paul show up with 3 points in a poem? Why wasn't Paul putting on a show? Why wasn't Paul entertaining? Why wasn't Paul telling sob stories and making people emotional? To make emotional decisions? Why wasn't Paul doing these things? Why wasn't Paul trying to be eloquent in his speech to impress people? Look at verse 5. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." See, Paul was pointing people to God. Not himself. What do we have today so often? We have these TV evangelists, I put that in quotation marks, promoting themselves. Saying, "Look to me. Listen to me. I have what you need. And I'm willing to give it to you for a small fee. Plant your seed in my garden and reap the harvest." That's not biblical. Paul wasn't saying that. Do you think Paul could have made some major money? Oh, yeah. But he didn't. It was not about him, was it? It was about his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul gave his life for his Lord and Savior. He came, he preached, he taught, he lived so that people would look to the Lord, not to himself. Humbly, yet boldly, Paul heralded forth the gospel. He was not scared. He was not a pushover. We are told by the time Paul was somewhere around 20 years old, he had already had the equivalent of 3 doctrinal degrees. He could speak, it was 13 or 17 different languages fluently. Do you think he had a brilliant mind? We'll see how he excelled above all everybody else in the Jews' religion. He was known. And in Philippians, he said he was known so good, so much. He was excelling so great, yet when Christ saved his soul, he counted all that but what? Dung. Willing to give it all up for Jesus Christ. It wasn't about him. John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must what? Increase. Look at verse 11 of Galatians 1. Paul writes, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. To certify in this verse means to make known, to declare, to reveal. Paul and those with him came to the Galatians to make known to them their need of the Savior. In this verse, the gospel is the gospel plan of salvation. Listen to this. It's doctrines, declarations, precepts, and promises. Paul didn't just show up and say, repeat this prayer, did he? He didn't show up and go down the Roman road. No, he showed up and he explained to them who Jesus Christ is, what Jesus Christ did, what Jesus Christ is doing, and what Jesus Christ is going to do. Again, the gospel here is the gospel plan of salvation. It's doctrines, means it's teachings. It's declarations, it's precepts and promises. Why do that? Why stand up and teach and preach all these doctrines, all these teachings? Why spend so much time so that their faith would be in God? Not something that they did or something he said. So they could fully understand who Jesus Christ is. Well, that's foreign from today, isn't it? Let's hurry up. Let's get them saved. Move on to the next one. We got 10 saved this week. There's many problems with those statements. We was talking this morning in Sunday school about the Lord saving, and it's the Lord that does it, and for His glory, for His honor. And I asked the question. I said, y'all mean that I didn't save any of y'all? And everybody said no. Good thing, because I can't save anybody. Amen. Nor can you. But we point them to the one who can. But we don't stop there. Then we disciple. We teach. See, that Sunday school is not just something you come to because say, okay, let's go to Sunday school. No, that's part of discipleship. Learning the Word of God. Wednesday evenings, same thing, we learn the Word of God. That's discipleship. Yes, Sunday mornings we're preaching. The preaching hour. Driving home the Word of God. Did Christ preach? Yes. But He also spent a lot of time in discipleship with His disciples. Do you think they needed to be disciples? Have you ever read what they were doing on the night that Christ instituted the Lord's Supper? They were competing with one another. Who's going to be the greatest? Yes, they need to be discipled. Do we need to be discipled? Yes. Thank God for Sunday school. Thank God for Wednesday night. Thank God for the Monday night Bible studies that we have. And this should be our desire to learn and to grow, go on to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Paul didn't just go there saying, turn or burn. He didn't go there just saying, repent. He didn't just share the gospel. He proclaimed the gospel. He taught the gospel. He came preaching an evangelistic message, we could say. The word preached here, in this verse, he says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Preach in this verse is to evangelize. That means to bring glad tidings, to declare as a matter of joy. And the gospel message is a joyful message, but only if the bad news is proclaimed with it. What's the bad news? Well, the lost are headed to a devil's hell. You can't save yourself. The law, as we will learn in the book of Galatians, the law is our schoolmaster. It points us to Jesus Christ. The bad news is that God hates the sinner, is angry with the sinner every day, Psalm chapter 5 says. That's bad news. We're in bad shape. We have no one to go to. No one to go to on this earth that can help us. What's the good news? God sent His only begotten Son. Jesus Christ came and died, was buried, rose again, ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God. What's the bad news? The bad news is that you were born dead in your trespasses and sins. You were born a sinner and you love it. You love darkness rather than light. Again, you're headed for a devil's hell, and you deserve to be there. That is bad news. And the good news is the gospel. John 3:16 is a verse y'all all know very well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There has never been, nor will there ever be, anyone who truly cries out for salvation, and yet God will turn them away. That's not biblical, is it? John 6:37 says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise do what? Cast out. See, if someone comes to God for salvation, as you learned this morning, what's God already done in them? He's already quickened them. He's already saved them. Amen. He does not turn them away. He does not. The gospel message proclaimed by Paul did not originate or come down from men. Look what he says in verse 12. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion, above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. What happened in verse 15? God interrupted his life, but when it pleased God. And we'll get there probably next week. I won't get to verse 15 this week. Again, Paul was humble, and he was heralding the gospel to all after the Lord saved him. But before the Lord saved him, he was full of hatred toward all who were not like him, especially towards those who were of the way, or Christians. Notice again what he says here, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." You have to ask the question, had Paul heard the gospel before? Yes. He heard it before. Was he convinced by men of the gospel? No. That's what he's saying here, that no man convinced him of the gospel. Paul actually heard the gospel proclaimed by others multiple times. He watched these Christians die for their Lord and Savior. Their devotion to their Savior and the doctrine which they proclaimed did not faze Paul one bit. He did not admire them, but yet he hated them vehemently. Paul, again, did not receive the gospel message from any man. Why? Why couldn't Paul receive the gospel from any man? Because he was dead in trespasses and sins. He couldn't hear. He knew about Jesus, didn't he? And that's why he hated him so much. He knew what Christianity stood for, didn't he? And that's why he hated Christianity so much. He was willing to kill, to stomp it out. Now, how many of us knew about Jesus before the Lord saved our souls? I dare say probably all of us. We had been in church, Sunday school, Bible schools. We knew about Jesus. We knew what He did. But we wasn't saved. And our life showed it, didn't it? Turn to the book of Acts. Let's go to Acts 22. Acts 22, look at verses 1 through 4. Paul's been arrested, now he's defending himself before the people. Verse 1 of Acts 22, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he said, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day." Look at verse 4. "I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women." He's giving him his testimony. And this is what Paul was doing before the Lord interrupted his life and saved his soul. This is what Paul was living for. Let's go to chapter 26. Very familiar chapter. Paul is standing before King Agrippa. Look at verses 9 through 11 of Acts 26. He says, I verily thought myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints noticed this, that I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. His testimony against them. What testimony? What would cause the Jews to kill these Christians? Look at verse 11. And I punished them oft in every synagogue. Notice this. And did what? Compelled them to blaspheme. He compelled them to blaspheme. And they would stand there and say, yes, they blaspheme. Well, how did the Christian blaspheme? Well, in the eyes of the Jews, he will blaspheme by saying that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God and is the Messiah. That, for the Jew, was blasphemy. And the penalty for blasphemy was death. Do you see how zealous Paul was? Paul would sit there and he'd say, tell me what you believe. Explain to me what you believe. And Paul would hear them proclaim the gospel. And its doctrines and its precepts. He would hear them diligently proclaim the gospel. And it never affected him. Are you sure? Positive. Because in Acts 9, what do you find? Paul headed to Damascus with letters. Boldly going. To do what? To arrest, to drag, to convict, to kill anyone. He said men or women. Or children. It didn't matter. Anyone who proclaimed the gospel of Jesus Christ, he wanted to kill. So their devotion to their Lord and Savior, their message, did not sway Paul one bit. And then the Lord saved his soul. Interrupted his life. And here's the point I'm making here. Paul didn't hide from this, did he? Paul didn't hide from his past. But nor did he let his past keep him from serving Christ. He was ashamed of how he lived before the Lord saved him, but thankful for the grace of God. Paul even said he came to save sinners, of whom I am what? Chief. No, everyone has a past. Everybody in here has a past. Some of us have a past that multitudes know very well. And some of us have a past that those whom we are around do not know. And we are glad that they don't know. Some of y'all I have known for a very long time. Some of y'all have known me for a very long time. But some of you, we don't know each other very long. So we don't know the dirty laundry. We don't know to the depths of sin that each other have went to, some of us. Some of us do know some things. Here's the point I'm making. That God saves sinners. He radically transforms their lives. And then uses us for His glory. Amen. We should never stand up and promote and proclaim in a very prideful way our past lifestyle, our past sins. We should be on our chest and say, yes, I used to do this or I used to do that. No, no. Because Romans says that we are ashamed of those things we used to do. But yet we don't act like we didn't do them. The fact is we did. The next fact is that Jesus Christ has saved our souls and has forgiven us of those sins. Hallelujah. He has forgiven us. Why to do this? For His glory. For His name's sake. We're all here. Those of us who are saved because the Lord saved us and given us a love for Him. And we're all different, aren't we? Yet He brings us together to serve Him. Some may say that they will not go to a certain church because there is someone there that used to live a terrible life. And they know that person. So they cannot attend church with that person. Have you ever heard someone say that? I've heard people say that. I've heard people say that about me. They say, I can't go to that church. I can't see him behind that pulpit. We used to hang out. We used to do this. We used to do that. We lived like this. And yep. Did. I'm going to deny it. That'd be lying, wouldn't it? But let's keep going. Let's fast forward from those things. What happened? What did Jesus do? So yeah, He used to do that, but He don't know more. Why? Because the Lord saved His soul and radically transformed Him. He's a new creature, a new creation in Jesus Christ. So why wouldn't you want to go hear someone like that? Why wouldn't you want to go to church with someone whom the Lord has saved? That's where I want to be. I want to be around people that are genuinely saved. Amen. I want to come together and worship our Lord and Savior together with other people whom He has saved. Sinners. In the depths of sins. If that's someone's attitude, that they don't want to be around others because of their past life, then more than likely they are still lost in their sins. The Bible says, he who is forgiven much does what? He loveth much. When the Lord truly saves someone, that person wants others to be saved and to gather with the brethren to worship our Lord and Savior and to serve Him. And to serve one another. See, when we see each other, we do not see the old person. We see the saved person. My dad is here. He's known me my whole life. He's known me longer than I've known me. And you ask him, he can tell you this is a different man up here. Right, Dad? I knew Daddy before the Lord saved him. Not the whole time, right? Wasn't born. But for a good 14 years of my life, 14, 15 years of my life. And I know the Lord saved him. Made him different. Brother Clint and Miss Demi talked about it this morning. I know the Lord saved them. Made them different. We know them for a very long time. Look down here, Brother Drone, Miss Barber. They knew me when I didn't really know them, but the word gets out, right? And what do y'all see? Definitely different. Amen. I heard stories about Brother Pat from Mr. Bob and others about back when they were kids. The Lord definitely saved Brother Pat too, amen. The rest of it, I don't really know, except for the past few years. But one thing's for sure, the Lord saved you, you're different. Your old friends will say, well, why don't you do what you used to do anymore? It's not that I can't, because I can, but I just don't want to. Because I love my Lord. Well, why do you get up and go to church on Sunday mornings? Don't you want to sleep in? Yes, I want to sleep in. Yes, my body's lazy. But I love my Lord. And I love the brethren. And I want to serve Him with them for His glory. We see each other and we do not see the old person. We see the saved person. We see a soul that Jesus Christ has saved. And again, we don't pretend that those sins did not happen. But we know that person is not who they used to be. Now, Paul viewed himself as the chiefest sinner that God saved. This caused him to never look down on others because of their sins. I mentioned earlier about those who were strung out on drugs or alcohol or they're into what we would call gross sins, whether it be homosexuality or sexual sins, whatever it may be. You know, there were people in the Bible who were not involved in all those things, yet they were still lost. They walked the line. They gave tithes of everything they had. They never missed church. Yet they were not saved either. They were headed to the devil's hell also. And you find often those people who are super religious like that are very mean and unloving. They have a form of religion is what they have. They don't have the love of Jesus Christ. See, they hadn't been forgiven. So, they don't know what it means to forgive others and to love others, have compassion. But when the Lord has saved you and I, He makes us different. You know, there's a lot going on in this country and which we live in. And I think we live in the greatest country in the known world today. There's a lot of division going on. And it's constant. But when the Lord saves us, we don't view somebody with the color of their skin, right? We don't view somebody whether whatever gender they're in. And listen, we hate our sins, we hate all sins, but we see that person and we have compassion. Their sin may want to make us throw up, but we have compassion because we know that if Jesus Christ can save us, He can save them. And use them for His glory. Amen. I'll tell you a quick story. And I don't tell stories a whole lot. Try not to. There's a certain church up in New York somewhere. It's somewhere that's around where the big cities are. And this church had a ministry where they would go out and they would share the gospel with men who were homosexual prostitutes. Sounds pretty bad, don't it? These men were taught to act like women their whole life, to have the mannerisms of a woman. Well, these people would go out and share the gospel with them, and the Lord would save souls. Isn't that great? Well, then these people would come into the church house. They want to be around other believers. The clothes they wore is what they had. And when they sat down, when they walked like they've always walked. And when they sat down and would cross their legs like a woman. How many of us say, "Ooh, I don't want to sit by that person"? That's weird. I don't want to sit by them. I mean, they got tattoos over their whole body. They got piercings everywhere. Their hair is purple. They have a mohawk. They don't look like me. Instead of people putting down on those who came in, they would assign certain men to them to help them learn to sit like a man, to walk like a man, and to love like a man that's been saved by Jesus Christ. To disciple these new converts. To help them grow in the Word. How stands it when we say, it's my poor and no more? Don't come here, you're not like us. What a terrible place the church has gotten to today. Amen. May the Lord help us never forget where He has brought us from. I know I have a past that I'm not proud of. I have a past that multitudes know about. And people are always quick to bring it up. So if you left here and went somewhere else, wouldn't you have a better impact? I don't know that I would. First and foremost, I want to be where God would have me be at. I believe it's here. But what greater impact to be than for someone to see me and say, that's Jimmy. Do you know what he used to do? And do you know what he's doing today? Not trying to promote me, by no means. But to promote Christ. To proclaim the gospel. This is a life that Jesus Christ has changed. He's interrupted. He saved my soul, and in saving my soul, He forgave me of all my sins, past, present, and future. You know what? People on this earth may bring those sins back up, but my Heavenly Father never will. They're gone from as far as the east is, from the west. One day, because Christ has saved my soul, I will stand before God one day. Not in my own righteousness, which is as filthy rags, but in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And when God sees me, He will see me as if I had never sinned because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Why are any of us going to heaven? Not because of a slick preacher. Not because of a prayer that we prayed. Not because of a feeling that we had. Because Jesus Christ saved our soul. Thank God that He still saves the chiefest of sinners. Hallelujah. I can't help but get a little excited about that. Because as we see, as this country is in dark times right now, whether it's politically, however you want to look at it, dark times, I know that my God is still able. And that's my hope, that He continues to save souls. May He use us for His glory to proclaim the gospel. Amen. Let's pray.